This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ, featuring the best of the best from today's conversations, observations, and ruminations, because great radio is still fresh the second time around. Earlier today on the Mac and Bone Show.
Let's get back to football and the Carolina Panthers and what we have been obsessing over for weeks, and the obsession will pick up the pace even more as we sit here a week and 2 days away from the draft. The Panthers Bone scheduled to be involved a week and 3 days from now on that Friday night. And let's talk through some scenarios, some players that the Panthers have interest in reportedly, with Trevor Sikkema, who does an amazing job talking draft all over the place. You're seeing him now, man. He is blowing up. Find him at PFF.com. Trevor Sikkema joins us on the Mac and Bone Show. Trevor, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, guys. I appreciate you having me.
I love it, man. You still got time for the little people here in the town you live in Charlotte, even when you're doing like Rich Eisen show and all these national shows.
Brother. He knows all the help we need around here for the draft.
That's true.
No, it's great. No, it's great to be on with you guys. I appreciate it, man. I always try to do, you know, and this helps me too. You know, you guys, it's a little contract here, right? I get to talk about draft stuff, but you guys get to help me with, you know, the questions that every fan base is answering, questions that the Carolina Panthers fan base has. So it helps me out, too. So it's a two-way street.
There we go. I feel good.
Glad to be honest.
We're not just bothering Trevor, man.
Trevor, right. We have been talking wide receivers really since the beginning of the season for the Panthers and trying to figure out who can most help Bryce Young. For what you know and see of what Dave Canales likes in wideouts and how he runs his offense, what wideout or two do you think would fit best in a Dave Canales system?
And there's a lot, right? I mean, like, I get to watch a lot of Dave Canales football over the last year, specifically watching the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I pay attention to them closely as I'm from the Tampa area. So I got to see kind of that offense evolve as Canales was evolving as a first-time play caller as well. So, you know, when I think about that team, look, the obvious answer is, hey, Marvin Harrison Jr. would fit great in this offense. They're not going to have any chance to get him or to trade up for him. So at the beginning of the second round, what do you start talking about is those targets that really make sense for Carolina. And Troy Franklin would be great for them. Wide receiver from Oregon, you know, he's somebody who you can get the ball in his hands very easily. He becomes a playmaker after the catch. He likes to make guys miss after the catch. It's one of his analytical statistics and data points that we really love, is how much he was able to do that over the last 2 years. I think that if you want a heavy volume guy, you know, we talk about Ladd McConkey all the time, Ricky Pearsall from Florida, those two wide receivers. Now, you kind of have those players already on the roster, but I was having this conversation with a friend the other day. You know, sure, Ladd McConkey and Ricky Pearsall, they kind of do what Adam Thielen does. And, you know, even depending on the version of Deontay Johnson you think you're getting, you could be an after-the-catch type of a player. But I'm not letting anyone on the roster right now dictate which type of wide receiver that I'm going to get in this draft if I'm Carolina. The only stipulation that I have for wide receiver in Carolina is, who's the best one there? Draft them. Because that's exactly what their situation is right now in their wide receiver room. Sure, it's looking better than it was last year, but you are still at a point where you simply have to get the best wide receiver that is available. But there's another guy. I will just throw out this. My co-host on the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, Connor Rogers, his comp for Jalen Polk from Washington, and I hadn't thought of this one before, he says he reminds him a lot of Chris Godwin. And when he said that, I was like, man, I do see that. And Godwin is obviously somebody who was heavily utilized for the Buccaneers last season, has been over the last couple of years. And so that's somebody, if you talk about like, ooh, who would Canales love, that's a player that I bet he would love take for this team.
Interesting angle. I like that. And by the way, I love what you're saying, because this has been one that there's been a lot of draft analysts out there that when they talk about the Panthers wide receivers, well, they got to get Keon Coleman. They don't have that big guy, or they got to get a downfield guy. And I've been with you, like, we're not at a point as a team where it's like, I got to find that right fit, right? They've got to get players. They got to make sure they get a guy that can play. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, I want to talk about corners, and let's start with one corner in particular, because there's been a little scuttlebutt out there the last day or so about Mikey Sainristil from Michigan, and that the Panthers could be interested in taking him in the second round, right up high in the second round. Is that too early to take him? Is he only a slot corner, or can he play outside? Like, what do you think? What should we think about him as a player?
Yeah, he's one of my favorite players in this draft. He really is. I mean, I never really put nickel corners in my top 50. It's just, it's rare, right? But I know in today's day and age, you have to have these slot sort of specialist guys. And when I say specialist, I don't mean, you know, when people think about the word specialist, sometimes they think, oh, that means niche. Like, it just means, like, they can't do anything else. Like, this is just what they are. And where you are sort of compartmentalizing that type of a player in the slot, it's a unique skill set that not every corner can play, right? You ask the question, okay, is he an outside guy? Is he a slot corner? And in today's game, you do have to get a guy who knows how to play in space and cover these guys with these two-way goes. And think about all of the wide receivers that play in the slot nowadays. You got the smaller, shiftier players. You got the tight ends. You got the bigger X receivers that they'll play on the slot just to give them a little bit more space, give them a little bit more movement because they're not as precise as those smaller guys. And so you have to be up for the challenge. And Mike Samardzija is absolutely up for the challenge. You know, he's a safety who will come down. He'll play over the slot for sure. He'll align just straight as a nickel defender, no doubt. He also plays a little too high safety assignments as well. So he does all of those things versatile. You're not going to play Samardzija as an outside corner. Here's how I would answer that question, though. If Carolina would want to select Samardzija at the top of the second round, would that be good value for me? Yes, as a player. But for Carolina specifically, if you are taking Samardzija over what I would really just say a building the best offense possible to know what you have in Bryce Young type of a strategy,
yeah,
that signals, okay, we're still many years away. Like, we are still at the point where we're building this roster with players that we want. So I just don't think it would be something that Carolina would do. I like the player for, say, like, top of the second round. That's where I think you should go in the draft. But for Carolina, to me, that would signal just a really long-term rebuild, because they may be investing in a football player that they love, which is the name of the game, of course, but you're not really hitting a position where not only are you fixing your offensive needs, but also you're not advancing answering the question of what you have in Bryce Young. So really good football player, but I just don't think he would fit value-wise for what Carolina actually really needs right now.
We're talking to the great Trevor Sikkema on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline on Twitter at Tampa Bay Trey. Find him on Pro Football Focus website, pff.com, podcasts, tweets, whatever you need. One of the best in the business, Trevor Sikkema. When you look at the tight ends in this draft, Trevor, outside of Bowers, who do you think has the highest upside in that position? Because that's an area the Panthers have not addressed at all here in the offseason.
Yeah, I looked at Jatavion Sanders from Texas, and I think that you've got to label him as having the highest ceiling outside of the Brock Bowers. And having those 2 second-round picks, you know, I know coming to grips with why you have the additional Giants pick in the second round is a little bit more difficult to do. But now that you do have it, you can think of the good stuff that you could do with it. And I think that picking Jatavion Sanders might be a really good choice for them, right? I mean, I think that that's something that you can really use to evolve that offense. You know, it's something that Sanders is a former 5-star recruit, and I'm not sitting here saying, like, oh, every 5-star recruit's going to work in the NFL, but when you get that 5-star label coming out of high school, it's because it's very easy to identify the type of athlete that you are. And that is something that you can see with Jatavion Sanders very, very early in his tape. I mean, this dude, if people talk about Brock Bowers, like, man, oh, tight end shouldn't move like this. Jatavion Sanders has more lateral agility and stop and start ability and more crispness in his routes, creates more separation than Brock Bowers does. And I think that is something that the rest of his game still needs to get honed in on, needs more consistency. He does need to run those more routes with better consistency to continue to get that separation with his great athleticism. But this is definitely the type of player that you draft and develop. So he's somebody that I think has a really high ceiling. But, you know, here's the thing about the tight ends, the position for the Carolina Panthers. I think that there's a world where they don't necessarily have to take one with those 2 second-round picks. If you want to take a chance on Sanders, like I just said, it could be worth it for you. It could be great. Again, it's weapons for Bryce Young. That's what matters most. But there's some tight ends a little bit later in this draft, you know, third, fourth round. Eric Gall from Iowa, you know, as long as you're okay with, you know, his injury history and you think that he's going to be healthy moving forward, I mean, he's a great athlete who I think could be a tight end one in the league. Jared Wiley from TCU. And then you got guys like we've been talking about them for months, Cade Stover, Ben Sinnott. You know, like those guys I think could also be really good contributing tight ends a little bit later. So you don't necessarily have to take the tight end splash in the second round to get an impact guy, especially for what's in the room now for Carolina. But those are a handful of tight ends that I could definitely see being a part of this team as either a tight end one, tight end two, rotational guy, something like that.
Sinnott's a guy that you mentioned that he's taken a top 30 visit with the Panthers. So it does seem like he down the line in the draft is on their radar. I want to go back to something. Well, no, actually let's talk about centers. Let's talk about centers because if you're going to help Bryce Young, one way is these pass catchers, right? The other way is they've already started, right? They go get those two big guards in free agency. But they're going to move Austin Corbett to center. We don't know about Corbett's health moving forward. It feels like center's got to be in play. Jackson Powers Johnson is, I think, has a visit here in the next couple of days. He's considered one of these centers that maybe could fall into the early second round. Zach Frazier gets a lot of hype. Like, are these? What do you think about the centers that could be taken in the second round? Is it good value? Is that a good move by the Panthers? If they do that,
it's a really good center class. I will say this. And so, you know, look, it's hard for me to say if Jackson Powers Johnson's available at the beginning of the second round, which he could very well be. You know, there's a reality where, you know, he slides a little bit out of the first round. It just feels as though the NFL is not as high on him as like I am or draft media overall. And so I think that there is definitely a chance that he could slide there. And it's hard to think that a player who, man, I love his athleticism. I love his demeanor. Yeah, he's only a one-year starter. So the consistency, you're still working with the hand placement and him winning off of more than just being, you know, stronger than his opponents and faster than his opponents. But I think that could certainly come in time because you see how competitive of a dude this is as well. I think he's got that center guard flexibility to him just because of his build. So in that sense, you're getting a dang good offensive line. So it's hard to argue the pick like you kind of started the question saying, hey, we got to protect Bryce Young. You talk about getting him weapons, but that's first and foremost. You got to keep him upright. You got to make sure that he's got that time to scan the field and really the time to progress, because that's a big issue as well. I know the wide receiver separation was what people kind of looked at last year, and it was the punching bag for the offense, but you've got to give him time to be able to read the field. And if he's able to do that consistently well, then that's going to naturally speed up for him. That's what we saw at Alabama over the last couple of years as well. So all that to say, you know, I think Jackson Powers Johnson is a great choice for them. I think Zach Frazier as well from West Virginia, not getting talked about nearly enough, kind of in that same category with Jackson Powers Johnson. But, man, it's a good center class. You get further down the board, you get to, you know, like round three, round four, you got guys like Cedric Van Praan from Georgia. You got Hunter Norzad from Penn State, Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin. Like, there are guys who can absolutely start in this league who you will have the chance to draft in the third or fourth round just because the position isn't really seen as this I've got to draft them really high type of a position most of the time. Yeah. So I think naturally after we get past the Graham Barton, the Jackson Powers Johnson, the Zach Frazier, I wonder if you're going to see a big gap in when they're picked just because teams don't really think about it. But then you'll get to these guys that I just mentioned in the third and fourth round, and we'll look back on this draft and we say, man, what a great pick for them in the third or fourth round. How'd they last that long? And I think it's just because the center position often gets, you know, overlooked. It doesn't thought of as much. So to say, good players they could get in the second round, but I also think there's a lot of depth. They could certainly wait until that third or fourth round to also get a potential starter at that position.
Yeah, Trevor just sounds like hope for us, doesn't he?
He's got it all.
I want Trevor
in the front office, baby. Although he won't sell out his Bucks like that, I have a feeling. You know what I mean? great stuff, man. That is great stuff. I love the way you also mix in kind of the draft strategy from Carolina's angle. Very good to hear. At Tampa Bay Trey, don't hold that against him because he knows his football. All right, you're going to learn from him on Twitter. At Tampa Bay Trey, he is the lead NFL draft analyst for PFF, and check out the NFL Stock Exchange podcast. Thank you so much, brother. We appreciate it.
Always good to be with you guys. Appreciate it anytime.
Listen to Mac and Bone every weekday morning from 6 to 10. Instant Replay continues with more in a moment. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
This is Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Earlier this week on the Wes and Walker Show.
Time now for the Live Wire with Fitty.
Live Wire Connect.
The east to the west, to the west, up north, to the down south, down Live Wire Connect.
Brad Idzik, the new offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. Wes, didn't he play at Wake Forest?
He did.
He played there when you were there?
No. Hey, I never had.
You were there. Are you yawning on the radio? Are
you? I did. You caught me at the tail end of it. I've been up since 5:50, man.
He was bored with your question already.
So me and Walker just putting you to sleep, huh?
Not me. He didn't yawn with me. he yawned when you asked him a question.
I gave you the win earlier today in the prospect duels.
You can give it back if you want.
The disrespect. Anyway, Brad
Idzik. Shout out to 803, by the way. Maiden High with the Klux Deluxe. That was the premier chicken sandwich. Big shout to the Klux Deluxe. Go ahead, Fitty.
All right. Wes, you awake?
I'm good, man.
Brad Idzik, he met with the media earlier today, and he publicly delivered his first comments about his quarterback, Bryce Young.
Obviously a winner. You look at a guy, he finds a way to win. His arm talent is phenomenal. He makes great professional throws all over the field at the short, intermediate, and down the field as well. But he's a winner, and that's something you can't truly quantify all the time. And we're really excited to have him here. Really excited to watch him progress this offseason alongside his teammates.
Walker, every time that we bless you away.
He leaned back, too. I think he was going to do it.
No, I'm a funny guy. I'm going to get you back.
Walker, every time we've heard Dave Canales or now Brad Idzik talk about Bryce Young, it's always been positive and it's been upbeat. How much of the offseason do you think it was their goal to build him back up mentally, to get him in the best headspace after a disastrous rookie season?
That probably is high on their priority list, to make sure that Bryce Young knows that they believe in him. Brad Idzik doesn't seem like he's going to have the media savvy that Dave Canales has, but I'm only judging him based off of one answer. Mm. Hopefully we get a little more intel. Hopefully we get a little bit more of a relationship between the media and Idzik and the fans and Idzik. But I think all the good intentions are there. I think it's a good point, Fitty. Yeah, I agree. I think that probably is high on the priority list. And I do think they believe in Bryce Young. We just need to see him work with a competent offensive line and competent receivers.
My main question is, when these guys call people winners, yeah, we know that they won in college and things of that nature, but what's the alternative? When is a guy going to get up there and say, he's a loser, but we're going to make him a winner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But no, I don't think they're going to have to go back and build Bryce Young back up mentally, because I've always said I think Bryce's football character is second to none. I think he knew coming into this situation. That's the thing when you talk about guys who are really, really smart at the sports they play. Bryce Young knew when he looked at this roster that it was going to be an uphill battle more than likely. And so I think he knew the adversity that was going to come. Plus, I think he just knew, too, that being a NFL rookie, that there was going to be plenty of adversity during his season. Now, I've always talked about the fact that he hasn't experienced much during his football career outside of people doubting him because of his size, because of how much he won in college and high school. But I think Bryce Young is just fine. He understands what it is, and he knows, and he sees the progress that this team is making in offseason, how much they're trying to support him. He'll be fine.
One more comment from Idzik. He said that he took the job and is approaching this job with a clean slate of opinions of his wide receiver room.
Just looking at the group, from here forward, we're operating with a blank slate. So we are starting from square one with every single guy and investing in him in his development this offseason. So we're really, from a veteran who's been around like Adam Thielen and Deontay Johnson, all the way down to a young guy like Jonathan Mingo going into his second year, we're just letting them show us through the tape that they put on, you know, the things they put on tape this offseason. Okay, what is their progression looking like now currently? So we're just excited to really just strip this thing down to the bolts and build things up one day at a time.
Wes, you said cap during the answer. My first question is, what is he capping about? And second, which wide receiver stands to benefit the most from the clean slate they're operating with this offseason?
For one, come on now. We're all human. Everybody has preconceived notions of people when they meet them. So you know when you walk into the room, Adam Thielen had 100 catches. You know Jonathan Mingo severely underperformed as a rookie. You know the things that come with Deontay Johnson and what he did in Pittsburgh. So, no, I'm not buying that everybody's on a clean slate. They know who their guy is. But as far as who could benefit the most, I mean, we talked about Terrace Marshall going to get cut, so that would eliminate him from this deal. But I just think it's Deontay Johnson, more so from a professional standpoint, just a chance for him to really come in with a clean slate, literally coming from Pittsburgh. We know some of the preconceived things that we've heard about him, so this is his chance just to step into a new locker room and rededicate himself and ingratiate himself to the coaching staff and his teammates.
That's how you dodge compliments. You don't have to give any compliments to the receiver room. You don't have to give any criticism. You can just say, hey, we're viewing this as a clean slate.
I'm going to start saying that.
I have no preconceived notion about any of these receivers, whether it be Deontay Johnson or Jonathan Mingo. Who benefits the most from the clean slate? I think it's Mingo. Because I think that's probably the receiver that you can sell me the most on legitimately providing a clean slate to. You go through a rookie year that's terrible. You only have 1 year in the league. So there's still a lot of unknown with him. And now that Dave Canales is a wide receiver coach who has done a nice job with a bunch of wide receivers during his time in Seattle and in Tampa Bay, I think that's probably one of the more under-talked about points, bringing Dave Canales in to the Panthers franchise. Look at everything he did with guys like Doug Baldwin, Jermaine Kearse, Paul Richardson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Lots of really good wide receivers, but aren't Pro Bowl type guys. And then you get some Pro Bowl type guys in Tampa Bay, and what does he do? He makes sure that they reach over 1,000 yards. I think Mingo is the one that benefits the most from having a clean slate, and maybe there is something more to work with there because he was maybe a little overdrafted at 39 or 38 last year, but people still really liked his raw ability and what he could possibly do on an NFL field.
Moving to the NFL draft, Walker, Chris Sims joined our favorite podcast.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
The Mina Kimes Show podcast featuring Lenny. And he was talking about Xavier Leggett, and he says that he would love that as a potential draft pick for Carolina.
One quick bonus pick for the Carolina Panthers. Gave them Ladd McConkey at 33 last week. I'm going to take McConkey off, even though I do think he's a really good fit for what they need. And I'm putting up two other players just to get your sense of what direction you'd like to go in. I put up Jalen Polk, who is a player at a UW who I absolutely adore. Amazing hands, so reliable. And then Xavier Leggett, who gives you more of that size and speed.
I'm going to go Leggett here. Let me think here. They got Thielen, right?
And Deontay Johnson.
That's right. They're more Polkish, right? That to me, they're more route runner, that guy. Leggett can be the guy that can be the playmaker. Hey, throw me a slant. I'll break the tackle and go rockets up my I'm going to go run for a 70-yard touchdown.
Well,
he can be that guy. That's where I would like that. Oh, we're in the shotgun. He's coming in motion. Deebo Samuel, speed sweep. See you later. He's built like that to be that guy. So he's not like your refined, awesome route runner. It's still pretty good for the thick guy he is. But I think he's a big play weapon specimen. And I think that's something they greatly need in Carolina. So I would love that pick for them.
All right. First things first, Walker. By him saying they've got Thielen, right? Over under how many games did he watch last year of the 2023 Panthers?
I'm going to take the under if you're trying to figure. I guess it's tough. You maybe don't remember that they traded for Deontay Johnson, but it was funny to hear him struggle to name one receiver. Now, he got a couple, but he was really struggling to name one, and I can only blame him so much for that. I get it. It was a tough passing attack to watch.
What did you make of his assessment of the way that Xavier Legette could fit into Carolina's offense?
I understand it, but we addressed this last week when Jordan Reed's sound was played on the live wire. I don't care if you draft a receiver that is somewhat similar to Deontay Johnson or Adam Thielen, because Deontay Johnson is an unrestricted free agent and Adam Thielen is old. So if you want to get a wide receiver that plays like them, well, it's going to be short-sighted if you want to avoid it because you have those two guys on the roster. There's a potential, and we all hope, that whoever you select in the second round at wide receiver is going to be here for 4 or 5 years and beyond, because that means they make it to a second contract. That means you have to think about that more so than just what you're going to get from these two wide receivers in 2024, and that's it. You do not have Deontay Johnson locked in despite trading for him, and you don't want Adam Thielen locked in because Father Time is going to set in at some point. With all that being said, it doesn't mean that I dislike the pick. I'm cool with Xavier Legette. I think he's got a lot to offer. I think he cares. I think he has a lot of production from last season. No, the route running is not as refined as the others, but as Chris Sims said there, it's not like he's bad at it. And plus, he does have the DK Metcalf athleticism. So I don't agree with the fact that you should stay away from some of these route runners because you have good ones in Thielen and Deontay Johnson. I don't agree with that aspect. I am totally fine with the pick, no matter how he comes up with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be an interesting selection, and it's going to be a great experiment to see, you know, a guy with the limited production as far as just having one big season, how he would be able to do. But you like a lot of the other things that he brings to the table, the size of 221 pounds, running a 4.39 40. So there's a lot to like about Legette.
Jalen Polk and Troy Franklin, by the way, are two other guys that get open really well.
I like
Jalen Polk. I do too, and I like Franklin. He's tiny, but man, he gets open too. It feels like, Wes, separation, if you struggled with that last year, this is the draft class for you. If they don't even get Ladd McConkey, who is viewed as the separation god of this draft, there's still a couple of other disciples, and it feels like you can get that with Polk and or Franklin, and maybe some other receivers. Malachi Corley might be that guy. Man, this class is so good. Panthers are going to have their pick of the litter, and there's going to be a fantastic litter to look at.
All right, assuming that we take a visit to the mound tomorrow, I'll save the John Sterling stuff for tomorrow's mound visit. We did not get to this piece of audio yesterday in the live wire because got cut short because of Brandon Miller's interview with you guys broadcasting from a Hornets exit day. Charlotte FC picked up a big win at home over the weekend. And in the process, Liel Abada scored a massive goal in the win. And Willie P, the voice of Charlotte FC, he gives us gems every now and again when calling goals, describing goals, and the way he wants to celebrate goals being scored. And let's just say he did that in a big way on Saturday night at the bank.
Charlotte FC's head of photography, Taylor Banner's got a good shot on that one. I want one in every size, and I want doubles. I'll order them. I'll pay for them.
You enjoy a man in a sports bra for your walls, will he be?
Anybody who wears the Charlotte FC crown, I'm all for it.
I will enjoy my ice cream silently.
Wes, I will start with you. You know that in soccer, when they score goals, they take their shirts off, mm-hmm. and they go sliding across the grass to celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an athlete that you grew up idolizing or that you watch play now that you want to see in a sports bra and would willingly buy photos to place on the wall at your household?
No, there's not one that I would do that with. Shout out to Brandi Chastain, and shout out to my girl Taylor Banner out there, head of photography. But no, there's no athlete I would want to see that, nor post a picture in my place of residence.
Well, first, shouts to you for shouting out a photographer, knowing the photographer.
Yeah, man. She's worked with us a lot, ACC.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Very cool. I did not expect that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't tell you that I would be so inclined, if that happens, to make sure that I commemorate it on my wall anytime soon, no matter who does it. But it's a cool moment, I guess, for Charlotte FC, and it gave us a great soundbite and conversation between Willie P and Jess Jarman.
Please tell me this is going to come up in Thursday's interview with the P-Man.
We can bring it up. Bring it up to see what Willie has to say.
When I told him we were going to talk about this, why? What's the big deal? I was like, Willie, you were openly wanting to talk about buying photos of another man to place in your house. It's a little awkward. If he's in a sports bra, that means he's scoring goals, and that's a good thing.
At what point do you outgrow posters of athletes in a certain room? It feels like this is the whole man cave or whatever space that you have that you just put all that stuff in, but not necessarily your room or your house. But at some point, you probably don't have posters of anybody like that anymore, right?
I mean, I feel like if you have a man cave, it's still appropriate, right? Like, yeah. If you have a designated area to go watch sports, maybe. Yeah. Then I'm 27. I don't have any posters up in my room. I have posters, but they're not. Like, I just have them in my closet.
Some fat heads. I remember when fat heads dropped. Those things were pretty cool.
They were dope.
They were fat.
They were fat indeed. P-H-A-T. Thank you, Fitty. That'll do it for the Live Wire with Josh, Fitty Marlowe.
You can hear Wes and Walker live and local every weekday afternoon from noon to 3. Sit tight and stay locked because Instant Replay continues next. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.
To Instant Replay on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ. Because great radio the second time around is always twice as nice. Earlier this afternoon on the Kyle Bailey Show.
From Sports Illustrated, Skylar Callahan is with us on the Body Works Plus guest hotline. We appreciate you, brother. You don't need to sell me on Zach Frazier. I love him already. But if you were to sell the audience on the Panthers taking, you know, using one of those early, maybe second round picks, something like that, on Zach Frazier, sell the audience on the West Virginia Mountaineer Center.
Yeah, man. He is one of the most talented players that I've ever seen, and one of the most talented players I've ever covered at West Virginia. He is exactly what Dan Morgan wants. I mean, you're talking about a smart, cerebral player that just knows everything that's going on, not only with just his position, but the other guys that are playing alongside of him. I mean, we had him on our show a couple of months ago before the NFL Combine, and he was breaking down the entire drive before he got hurt against Baylor. And he was talking about how he would just notice certain movements, certain ways that guys have their feet aligned, and how he could judge what they were going to do just based off their alignment. And he even broke down the play that he got injured on and how that all kind of unfolded. He is just so out of this world smart. And I think that's one of the reasons why he's going to fall, and a lot of NFL people are going to fall in love with him during this process. He's not the most outspoken person in the world by any means. He's very reserved. But he leads by example. He's great in the community. And Kyle, there's this one story that I think, you know, people, when they search Zach Frazier, they see the broken leg thing. They see how he hobbled off the field and the awareness that he had in that situation. But there's another story that happened this past season I don't think a lot of people know about. And it was after the loss to Houston. They take the lead with 12 seconds left. Everyone thinks they're going to win the game. Houston obviously follows that up with the Hail Mary. They're crushed. They're defeated. The very next morning, they get back to Morgantown at like 5:36 in the morning. An hour later, he and quarterback Garrett Green, they go over to the Children's Hospital at WVU and spend some time with a cancer patient who really, really needed their time. They had already promised that young girl that they were going to come and show up. But when you have a situation like that and you lose in the way like they did, a lot of people probably would have bailed on it, went to sleep. And whatnot, but they stuck to their commitment. It just speaks volumes to the kind of person Zach Frazier is.
Now, that's all the good news. Like, if you like Zach Frazier or you want to be sold, like, texters right now are saying, I'm convinced, let's grab Zach Frazier. Chris in West Charlotte said, KB, I'm with you 100% on Frazier, draft him. The only problem here might be, and I saw you report on this earlier today, this morning, Peter Schrager on the NFL Network is now predicting Zach Frazier to go in the first round. Is that correct?
Yeah. So that's the tough thing about it. And that's why, for the most part, I've been mocking him to Carolina at 33 instead of 39, because, you know, there's so much love for Zach in this process. And we spoke with WVU football GM Drew Fabianich about a month or two ago, too. And he said, look, when he starts sitting down with the NFL executives and gets in front of people, he's gonna go from a mid-second round guy to a top of the second round, bottom of the first round type of player. This is coming from a guy who was in the Cowboys front office for years. So I believe Drew in what he says in his assessment. He said he's a better pro than Tyler Biotish when he came out of Wisconsin, and they drafted him at Dallas. So that's kind of speaking to what the potential is of Zach. I've heard Dallas in the mix, maybe San Francisco, Detroit seems like a perfect fit too. But I'm sure if he's still on the board there for Carolina at 33, I have a hard time believing Dan Morey goes in any other direction.
I'm with you, but that 29th overall pick in Detroit scares me because he's Dan Campbell's kind of guy. He's exactly Dan Campbell's kind of guy. You know what I mean? So anybody else from that West Virginia roster before we move on that you figure is drafted this year, or is it Zach Frazier and that's it?
I mean, there's a couple of other guys. I think Beanie Bishop is a really kind of under the radar cornerback. He's a consensus All American. Didn't get invited to the Reese's Bowl. Didn't get invited to the NFL Combine, but he blew it up at the Big 12 Pro Day. He's a day three kind of guy that might get drafted, might not. But I would say that's pretty much the two that you're looking at for this year. But I'll go ahead and get on next year. Wyatt Milam might be one of the top two or three offensive tackles coming out of the draft next year. So West Virginia, they're pumping out linemen like crazy right now.
How about that? All right, Skylar Callahan, Sports Illustrated, covers the Panthers, Hornets, and the Mountaineers. He's with us on the Bodyworks Plus guest hotline. What's more likely in a week and a half, that they make both picks at 33 and 39 or that they trade one of those picks back to acquire more assets?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think if the scenario works out where they get the guy that they want at 33, and there's going to be multiple options, multiple guys that they're going to want, I think they'll stay put. Now, there's going to be a lot of teams probably bugging the heck out of Dan Morgan after the first night of the draft, trying to trade up to get a quarterback, whether it be Michael Penix or somebody else. But who knows, that might take care of itself at 30, 31, or 32. So if that happens, then maybe Dan's not having to stress over so much, and they get the guy that they want at 33. I think it makes sense for them to move back. In a case where Zach Frazier is off the board and Jackson Powers-Johnson is also off the board, I'd say if you can move back a couple spots and pick up another third or fourth round pick, it's definitely worth doing. If you happen to fall behind that 39th pick, that's too much for me. I think you got to stay within that reach.
All right, and speaking of the Panthers, by the way, for those out there listening, we've got audio from new offensive coordinator Brad Idzik. We've not played that yet here on the show. We're going to have that for you coming up in about 15 minutes. I do want to pivot to the Hornets here for a couple of minutes, Skyler. I was telling Smoke about this earlier in the show, but I haven't gotten to it yet. I know you remember this. Back in June of 2018, the Hornets initially selected point guard Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from Kentucky with the 11th overall pick, but then promptly traded that pick to the L.A. Clippers for the next pick, the 12th pick, where they would take Miles Bridges. Now, Miles Bridges has been a very good player, but all things considered, do we have to add this to the list of all-time Hornets draft misses, a.k.a. they should have kept Shai Gilgeous-Alexander like Rick Bunnell told us all they should?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and again, like you said, this is no knock on Miles whatsoever. I mean, he has been as good as he could have possibly been, but I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I mean, is one of the top guards in the league. He's one of the top scorers in the league. He's durable, which one of the other guards in Charlotte right now has not been. So I think that's part of it, too. If LaMelo Ball has been on the court the last 2 years, maybe we're not really talking about it as much, even though it's two different situations. But with LaMelo not out there and you have that trade from a couple years prior, that it's starting to look like Shai was the guy. Yeah, it's going to make it look worse, but that's the past, the past regime, and I think that's why that's not the only reason why, but I think this is a good situation that they're in. They've got some young assets. They've got some money to play with. I'm really interested to see how Jeff kind of strategizes this offseason and what he wants to do in terms of the young guys that he's got, how he can complement them through the draft and through free agency. I'm excited to see where this thing goes because I think he's going to be one of the better executives in the league.
So you just alluded to guys being out there. That we know who you're talking about, LaMelo Ball. He spoke for the first time yesterday in months. And it's at this point, we know he can play, right? We know that he can play. He's proven that to us, that he can play at a high level in the NBA. But I think what fans really want right now is something that they can't have or know, and that is his desire to be great, desire to win. And he talked yesterday about how the only thing he loves is basketball, and it's killing him not to be out there. But is anything going to settle this other than him playing 75 games at a high level next year? What did you make of what he had to say yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, you know how he is, man. I mean, he's not a man of many words. So it is kind of hard for fans and really anybody else to get bought into that. I mean, Miles was the one that told the reporters, you know, he wants to play 75 plus games. And when I think Willie P even asked him about it, and he just kind of was like, yeah. So, I mean, LaMelo is not a man of words. He's a man of action. So we'll see what happens. But, you know, I don't question necessarily his desire to be great or anything like that. It's just, is this a thing that's going to continue to linger? Is the ankles just always going to be a problem for him? And for Jeff Peterson, I think that's a really, you know, tough situation, because he's a great player, but he's only great if he's on the floor. So he just signed the deal last year, but I'm wondering how long Jeff Peterson is willing to wait before he starts thinking about unloading that contract. I know no one's going to want to take that on with his injury history, but is there a way that they can move him in the future if that's what it comes down to? It's not going to happen this year. Probably won't even happen the following season, but it might get to that point, and that's certainly a point that no one wants to get to.
Well, yes, I would agree with that. Are you as concerned about this Mark Williams situation as everybody else seems to be?
Outside of him,
he didn't seem very worried yesterday, but I think everybody else that I know that is in the Hornets orbit is still very concerned about the future of Mark Williams.
Yeah, I mean, I think yesterday what he said kind of calmed some nerves to a certain degree. You know, not having to undergo surgery is a big thing, but that's, you know, you got to take that with a grain of salt. I mean, is it, you know, for certain that he's not going to have to undergo surgery? Is this a thing he's trying not to go through surgery? We'll see what happens with it. But I mean, anytime you're talking about big men and backs, it's a scary situation. You just think the ultimate worst as soon as those words are combined. So I don't know. I think what he was saying, the way that he's getting back into the gym, he's starting to lift a little bit more. And I think, you know, Steve kind of even slipped a little bit yesterday saying that he thinks that all the guys that are injured should be ready to go by training camp. So that's kind of the barometer for me. If we get to training camp and there's still some sort of lingering issue, that's when I'm going to start to hit the panic button on Mark Williams. Until then, there's a lot of time between now and then for him to make progress.
All right, last thing, you have any preference in this draft? I mean, if they're picking top four, anybody you're coveting?
Oh, really, not really. I mean, this is a weak draft, man. And I know people are upset about, you know, them winning that final game. And look, I mean, it is what it is. If there's a year where you somehow mess up your draft odds, this is the year that's okay that it happens. But, I was talking to, you know, a couple of people yesterday about this, and somebody's going to want a top five pick. We're even in a draft like this. If I'm Jeff Peterson, I'm thinking about trying to flip it for something, whether it's future assets or a veteran player. Because to me, I think this team needs more experience. They don't need another top five pick on this team. They've got that type of talent on the roster. They need somebody that's been around a winning culture. And you saw what it did at the middle point of the season when they got Grant Williams for that little stretch and Seth Curry. So that's what they need over a top five pick, especially in this year's draft.
Well done, buddy. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem, brother. Take care.
You tuned into Instant Replay. When the audio was so good, it has to be heard again. Only on Sports Radio 92.7 WFNZ.
The exclusive home of the Charlotte sports fan.